I'm Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us on the line today is Mrs. Nozabelu Ruth Bengu, who is a Member of Parliament, serving as Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development. Additionally, she has chaired both the Portfolio Committee on Infrastructure, Economic Development and Tourism, as well as the Portfolio Committee on Provisional and Local Government, and has been a member of the Portfolio Committee on Sport and Recreation. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to interact with the listeners.
Mrs. Bengu, can you please tell us more about the committee that you're heading up? What are some of the tasks and what does the committee aim to achieve?
The Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development was established in 2014 after the general election. It came as a result of the establishment of the new department that is charged with the responsibility of focusing on the development of small businesses, which would then include SMEs and cooperatives. That decision was also informed by the fact that both SMEs and cooperatives kept on complaining that they were not receiving adequate attention, and as a result, their development was not taken off the ground in the manner in which they would want to see those themselves developing. Then the Portfolio Committee itself is responsible for ensuring that issues of a radical socio-economic transformation are addressed by the Department of Small Business Development, particularly the implementation of the realization of the National Development Plan in as far as the creation of the 9.9 million new jobs by 2030, which are the 90% of the expected 11 million new jobs by 2030 in terms of the NDP. So the Portfolio Committee then is also responsible for assessing and holding the Department of Small Business Development accountable for executing its mandate, which is to champion the development of SMEs and cooperatives in South Africa, and also coordinating activities that are related to development of SMEs and cooperatives.
You mentioned that part of the responsibilities within the Small Business Development Ministry, that it's about creating and contributing to radical socioeconomic transformation in South Africa. And with that, we know that one of the biggest contributors is going to be within the entrepreneurial space. So as you mentioned, SMEs and co-ops. You also mentioned that we're due to be trying to create 9.9 million new jobs by 2030. Within the small business development space, does Africa feature in the committee's strategic plans at all?
That is the ultimate goal, but at the moment, it doesn't feature. Although that is an ultimate goal, if you look at also the responsibility given to South Africa in terms of leading the process at NEPAD level.
So I would imagine we want to fix ourselves first, make sure that we've established the infrastructure, that the correct mandates are in place with the appropriate government ministries. And then once that is in place, we will look at better strategic alliances with our counterparts on the continent.
Exactly what I'm saying. The first thing that the department needed to do was to continue providing services, because we could not just stop them abruptly and say, I am a new creature and I will do things differently. And then the second step was to say, how do I structure myself and how do I develop a strategy plan that relates to the new mandate of the department? And I just want to explain this new mandate of the department. How does it differ to the mandate of trade and industry? You see, in the development of SMMEs and cooperatives, the mandate of the Department of Small Business is almost similar to the mandate, to the role that was played by the Department of Sport and Recreation when South Africa was preparing to host the 2010 FIFA World Cup. That is what the department is expected to do. The project here is job creation through SMMEs and cooperatives, transformation of the economy to benefit people that have been excluded, those that are at the bottom of the ladder, so that we then reduce the number of people who are dependent on social grants and free services from government. That is the mandate of the department in order to develop SMMEs and cooperatives to make them participate in mainstream economy because they are currently excluded. And what are those things? One of them is access to land. Small businesses and cooperatives don't have access to land because they are for people who have been excluded in mainstream economy. They don't have access to finance. You have to restructure that and ensure that they have that access. They don't have access to adequate skills, and you also need to look at how you are going to be fixing that. But in terms of infrastructure also, you would understand that these cooperatives and SMMEs reside in wards where there is underdevelopment. There is no adequate infrastructure like the transport infrastructure, the telecommunication infrastructure, the energy infrastructure, as well as water and sanitation infrastructure, which is what makes small businesses in urban areas succeed. But in the case of small businesses in rural areas and townships, and peri-urban areas, you would not find the adequate infrastructure, meaning that even if you were having a farm that is doing very, very well in rural areas, land having been provided by a chief or a traditional leader, the infrastructure there would not make it possible for that farm that is doing well to transport produce from that farm to the market, meaning that the responsibility then of the Department of Small Business Development is to call these departments that are mandated to provide transport infrastructure, energy infrastructure, water and sanitation infrastructure, telecommunications infrastructure, sit down with them and sign transversal agreements, which would then make those departments align their plan for provision of such things and align their budget to actually enable those small businesses and cooperatives to take off the ground. That is the responsibility of this department. So the transversal agreement and the coordination of services and activities related to development of SMMEs and cooperatives relate to that, which then makes it different from what was done by DDI, where you would only focus on grants, you would only focus on training, you would only focus on provision of loans through CIFA.
So there's a tremendous amount of collaboration that takes place, lots of integration between different counterparts within the ministry space, so having people responsible for the infrastructure component, with energy, with telecoms, to help enable our SMMEs and cooperatives within the rural environments. Can you tell us, under the small business development umbrella, are there any specific programs which aim to aid women?
Yes. The majority of the registered cooperatives and small businesses are actually owned by women. And the reason for that is that people that find it difficult to get employment from rural areas are women based on their lack of access to education and lack of access to adequate skills. And also due to the fact that men would move away from rural areas to seek work in cities and leave women back at home to look after their children. So they also find ways of having to earn an income on their own. So most of the registered SMMEs and registered cooperatives are actually owned by women, and even those that would have men as members, but they will be few in numbers.
That's an interesting statistic. I didn't realize that we had more women than men focusing on the entrepreneurial journey. Today, we're talking to Ms. Nozapelo Ruth Bengu, who is a Member of Parliament and currently serving as Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development.
Hi, this is Lira, South African Afro-soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amelia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV channel 902. Today, we're talking to Ms. Nozapelo Ruth Bengu, who is a Member of Parliament, currently serving as Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In the previous segment of the show, we spoke about the components of the Small Business Development Committee, its whole purpose of being, one of the emphases is being on radical social economic transformation in South Africa. We spoke about some of its mandates, how it will enable SMMEs and cooperatives, helping access to land, improving skills provision, facilitation of finance, improvements on infrastructure, particularly in the rural space where it relates to transportation, telecommunications, energy, water and sanitation. And we left off talking about the number of women opening and operating small businesses. Ms. Bengu, could you please elaborate a little bit more on the number of women who have opened small businesses and cooperatives?
What I would want to clarify on this issue of more women having small businesses. There are different levels of development in the area of small businesses. There is what we call survivalists. It's those that live from hand to mouth, those that you would spot on the street as street vendors. There are many of those, and they are women. Most men would migrate from rural areas and small towns to seek work in bigger towns. And that was as a result of the discovery of minerals in South Africa. It's a long story. So that had then created a situation where women would find ways of then making sure that they are able to look after children that they had to put plate on the table for them. So the issue of then having more women owned small businesses as compared to men-owned small businesses relate to the category that we are talking about. We are talking survivalists, we are talking micro, but when you move to medium and macro, you are moved up the hierarchy of the target group that we are dealing with. You would then find more men-owned small businesses at medium level and macro level. The same would apply also with the cooperatives. More cooperatives are owned by women. And the reason for that is there are more women that would group themselves and come together as opposed to men.
That's an interesting dynamic, that we've got this collectivism surrounding women as opposed to the individualism that is associated with men. Whilst we're on the topic of women, on the 8th of March, women across the world commemorated International Women's Day, celebrating the progress that women have achieved and also looking at the gaps that still need to be filled. In your opinion, which areas do you think we need to build on the most to benefit women in the future?
I think that we need to relook in the manner in which we are promoting small businesses, particularly in terms of women, taking into account that women also set up welfare organizations that look after the elderly, organizations that look after vulnerable children, women affected by sexual violence or domestic violence. We need to position development of the socio-economic transformation to position that agenda in relation to community economic development as opposed to promoting individualistic development that results with a few millionaires in our communities, whilst the majority of the people in those communities survive on social grants and government handouts. So in other words, I am saying our focus should not only be on economic growth and job creation. Our focus should be more on economic growth that also facilitates participation of the entire community in the economy, which then results with communities that become self-sufficient and able to resolve their own social problems, build their own welfare centers, as opposed to continuously depend on government to provide the Tutuzela centers, to build the sports facilities, to set up the rehabilitation centers. That is what the National Development Plan calls on us to do, to have active citizens that are participating in their own development. That is the mindset that we need to actually start developing. We should not be materialistic driven. We should use our economic development, our participation in the economy as small businesses, but also to try and partner with government and plow back to communities where we come from.
I agree with you that a mindset shift is vitally important in terms of moving away from poverty and trying to develop more sustainable opportunities. And as you said, to start to develop a sense of community economic development rather than on an individualistic basis. But in trying to achieve that, we need certain enabling factors. So would you consider skills development, education, to be part of that enabling function to assist people to get to that point?
Definitely, I have actually developed a model that speaks to that, and I call the model the cooperative-based community economic development model, where we then take the existing cooperatives in the community and position them as a catalyst for attracting investment by both the private sector and the public sector. In the private sector, I am then saying, let progressive businesses come in as equity investors to partner with communities so that they are then able to transfer the skills that they already have and share their technologies that they have developed and also open the market to people who would not have access to market and also open an opportunity and access to finance because the cooperatives on their own, if they form a secondary cooperative, when they knock at a bank, the bank is going to say, you are a risk, we can't give you a loan, even if your business idea is sound. But if they come with an equity partner who has contributed a 20% shareholding and who has committed that I understand the market, I will hold you by hand, and I have the skills, I will transfer the skills, I have developed the technology, you have crossed a very big bridge that cooperatives on their own would not have been able to cross. So you are then bringing in the private sector as a partner as opposed to as a competitor. That then also brings in government to see the need for providing the infrastructure, because this cooperative is going to be working with an established and a knowledgeable business partner that is going to hold them by hand and show them all the ropes in this kind of business. And the benefit to this business, progressive business investor, is that currently there are few taxpayers, whereas if we then take the people that are sitting in the social grant register and the indigent register who are currently not paying tax and make them productive, the tax deductions will go down and the revenue base of municipalities will be broadened. The revenue base of SAR will be broadened because there are more people that will be paying tax, but also the expenditure of the Department of Social Development and also the municipalities that are providing free services will go down. So you are shifting budget from being a consumptive budget into a productive budget.
That's a very important point, and I read, in fact, just today I was looking at the spending programs for the next 3 years from a South African budgetary point of view, and it indicated that 490.4 billion rand would be spent on social grants over the next 3 years. And you rightly say that in terms of our biggest contributions to the tax revenue, it comes from personal income tax. So if we are able to have more people entering the workforce, it becomes more sustainable. It reduces the spending programs in other areas. It reduces the pressure of the tax burden on the individual. So I think your model is a fantastic one.
I also believe in that, and I am getting a lot of support, not only from the cooperatives in terms of the model. The people that are very supportive of the model is the banking sector. They are saying, if you bring in the private sector as an equity partner with a market, with the skill transfer, with the technology, we are happy to give the loan, which would then also reduce the burden from government to provide grants to SMMEs and cooperatives to a startup fund. The government will then focus on feasibility studies to produce a master plan for economic development in each and every ward.
And whilst we're talking about driving the economy forwards, it requires leadership. And one of the key areas in our program, Womanity, Women in Unity, which is a gender-based program, is building female leadership capacity, I find, is important for the future of women, not only to South Africa, but also to the continent. As chairperson of a portfolio committee, how do you see female leadership in South Africa?
I think that there are many capable women in South Africa, and also I would commend the current government for giving space to women and championing women empowerment and ensuring that women are actually given the opportunity to provide leadership. But not only that, I'm not sure whether people understand that when we get into parliament and you are made a chairperson of a portfolio committee, you are not just thrown in the deep end of the sea. You are also given the necessary support in terms of being provided with the training that would enable you to navigate your way. So I am saying that as women in South Africa and as women in Africa, we have this opportunity. Let us grab that opportunity with both hands. But that doesn't come without challenges. It is a world of competition. We don't need to sit back and expect that everything will be handed over to us in a tray. We also have to fend for ourselves and support each other, and also be able to tell each other when there are weaknesses and come closer to help each other. And not only look also at the weak side of a person, but when such moments come, I expect that other women will be able to give me a feedback of what my weaknesses are and also help me to overcome those weaknesses, but at the same time commend me for the good that I am able to do.
And you're right when you talk about the opening of opportunities for women within the South African government. We currently have 42% female representation in Parliament. And on that note, do you think that South Africa is ready for a woman president?
South Africa has always been ready for any capable person to lead the country. And if a woman is capable to lead, a woman then would be given an opportunity. But the issue of a woman president, to me, should be debated in the context of what is it that we want to implement as a program, and what kind of skills do we require for us to implement that program, and who amongst us possesses those skills, whether that person is a woman or a man. The determining factor should be the program, and the determining factor should be the skill, and the determining factor should be the ability to lead. Then the issue of whether that person is a woman or a man should be the last thing that we should be debating. So the issue then of South Africa being ready to have a woman president, South Africa has always been ready to have a woman president.
So in your perspective, as a country, we have got sufficient, adequately capable women within the relevant structures who have got the competency, and as a nation, we are ready to accept a woman as a president. But the fact of the matter is, whoever is elected needs to be competent, irrespective of their gender.
Yes. For me, the issue that needs to be discussed first, what stage of development are we in? What programs do we want to effect? What skills are required in order for those programs to be effective? And who is the best team? Because the country also does not only depend on the president. You may have a capable president, but if the leadership collective is not good enough to make the country move forward, that a good president would not be able to achieve anything. So the moving forward in a country does not depend on an individual. It depends on a leadership collective.
Today, we're talking to Ms. Nozabelo Ruth Bengu, who is a Member of Parliament serving as Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chakachaka, and I'm UNICEF and Rollback Malaria Goodwill Ambassador. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in the struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy, a program against social ills such as racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Balka every week on this day at this time.
Today, we're talking to Ms. Nozabelo Ruth Bengu, who is a Member of Parliament serving as Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In the previous segment of the show, Ms. Bengu elaborated on some of the quantifiers with women occupying more of the entrepreneurial roles, particularly at the survivalist and micro level. She also spoke about one of the models that she's introduced, which focuses on the cooperative and collective economic development. Ms. Bengu, turning now towards a personal perspective, throughout the various radio programs that we've had, one of the questions that I've asked all my guests who have made tremendous achievements in their respective fields is about some of the factors that have contributed to their success. Some people speak about hard work, others talk about perseverance, some speak about an influencing role model in their lives. Can you tell us what have been some of the key drivers to your success?
The key driver to my success is to see poverty being addressed adequately. I'm from a very poor background. I am a school dropout. I am where I am because I was given a second chance after having dropped out from school by working with the non-governmental organization that gave me the skills that I could not acquire through formal education. And that shows me that given an opportunity, even a woman from the deep rural areas of Harding, where I was born, where I grew up sleeping on a grass mat, fetching water from the river, and some women even deprived from going to school from where I am, is what has driven me to focus on community economic development. And I am very active in Harding, where I was born, to find ways of facilitating development through cooperatives and encourage those young people that are finding themselves in the same situation that I found myself in the 70s. And also to assist those that I grew up with who could not find work. I go back to them, I went back to them and organized them to form cooperatives. And I am working with them so that they can also earn an income of their own. So some people get motivated by having role models. What motivates me is the desire to see poverty going away and also to believe in self-reliance and self-sufficiency, that you don't need to go to another person and ask for a job for you to earn an income. You can also do it on your own if you are given the necessary support and you are understood that you are not in the situation that you find yourself in because you desired to be in that situation. You are a victim of the circumstance. So that is what drives me to focus more on cooperative and community economic development. I don't want to go back home and have people coming to me and saying, you are a member of parliament, you are driving a nice car, can you give me 10 rand? And then I'm rejoiced by giving a person that I went to school with 10 rand. I want to go back home and say, here I am. I am exposed to this kind of information. I can assist you to develop from the level you are in and be like me.
Thank you for sharing some of the stories of your moments in your life growing up. I think that that is an incredibly admirable intention to help others from where you came from and to not be as a case of handouts, but rather hand-ups, so that people can develop, that they have self-reliance, that they become self-sufficient.
Can I also put that in a different way?
Yes, go ahead.
I am a Christian and I go to church. I was asked to serve in the welfare committee. And the welfare committee in our church is a committee that encourages members of our congregation to bring the clothes that they are no longer using and the pots, or anything that you no longer use, so that those that need those things can then get them. So during the year, we will have a certain month on which those things are brought to the church. I refused and bluntly refused to serve in that structure. And then I told my priest that, no, I want us to establish a development committee in our congregation, and I'm going to serve in that committee and then teach members of the congregation. We must establish our own cooperative. And as we speak today, there is a cooperative that is owned by the church that I am a member of. It's the House of Glory, agricultural cooperative. I facilitated that it got funding. and the young people that are unemployed in our church are trained in skills, and the church is looking at building its own Bible school through the income that will come from that cooperative. So I don't believe in handouts. I believe in skills development and in making a person self-sufficient and self-reliant.
And it contributes to people's dignity that they're doing something meaningful and they're getting a tangible output from it, and also in terms of building the community that they come from. Ms. Bingo, we are unfortunately running out of time. Can I please ask you, in closing the program today, could you please share a few words of inspiration which you would like to pass on to young girls and women in Africa who are listening to the show?
What I would like to say to young women and women in Africa is that your past should not determine your future. What you want to be and where you want to be should be what will determine your future. So strive to be who you want to be.
Thank you very much for that message. Mrs. Bengo, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you on the show and for sharing your story, and more importantly, in terms of your message of hope and the fact that our past does not dictate our future.
I just wanted to say thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you, Mrs. Bengo. You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, and we have been talking to Ms. Nozobelo Ruth Bengu, who is a Member of Parliament, currently serving as Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development.